Morning Edition continues on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. Bees are absolutely essential to our agricultural economy, so it's disturbing that Michigan beekeepers report losing almost two-thirds of their hives, and that's just in the past year. And our monarch butterfly population? That's crashing as well. In this installment of WEMU's The Green Room, Barbara Lucas looks at what might be impacting our bees and butterflies, and it starts with the food we eat.
I'm at a March Against Monsanto rally at Liberty Plaza in Ann Arbor. Monsanto sells seeds that are Roundup ready, genetically modified to survive when crops are sprayed with weed killer. Human health seems to be the top concern here, but a few people are dressed as bees, and Ann Arborite Nancy Witter says,
"The pesticides, the Roundup that they put on those genetically modified crops are killing the milkweeds, plants that the monarchs need for their larvae. I don't want to see species eliminated just for these GMO crops."
Bees love milkweed, but for the monarchs, it's crucial. That's because it's the only thing their caterpillars can eat. The monarchs that fly northward each year from Mexico have gone from 1 billion strong down to a mere 33 million. A clear sign one of Earth's greatest migrations is in dire jeopardy.
Our great-grandchildren may never see monarchs if we don't do something now so that we can have the migration up here.
That's Brenda Dezik, founder of the Southeast Michigan Butterfly Association. We're in her butterfly habitat greenhouse at Barson's Nursery in Westland, surrounded by fluttering native butterflies.
When they migrate north, the biggest vast area that they migrate through are the corn and soybean fields. And so when they're migrating up here, if they don't have a place to lay their eggs, then the next generation will not exist to continue the northward journey.
Dezik says a major cause of monarch decline is the 60% loss of milkweed in the Midwest that has occurred at the same time as acreage devoted to Roundup-ready crops has boomed. The Food Safety Institute says three-quarters of the processed food on our shelves now contain genetically modified ingredients.
Thank you for shopping with us.
85% of our corn and 93% of our soy is now genetically modified. If not used for biofuels, it's fed to our meat or dairy livestock, or it becomes oil or corn syrup.
I would say that probably 95% of the seeds that are planted in Washtenaw County are GMO.
That's Kenny Seiler. He's been farming in Manchester for the past 38 years and has noticed the decline in the prevalence of milkweed.
I don't really have a lot of milkweed here. Used to, but don't have it anymore. Probably up till I started buying the Roundup Ready corn.
But overall, he sees his Roundup Ready seeds as environmentally beneficial. Glyphosate is more effective, so he needs less herbicide spray. And because the seeds are pre-treated with insecticide, he needs no insecticide spray at all.
Because now all that stuff comes right on the seed. And so that's one of the big advantages.
He gives me an empty bag for the soybean seed he uses.
Roundup Ready.
Reading the fine print back home, I see that under pollinator precautions, the label says the thiamethoxam it's treated with is highly toxic to honeybees. This is a type of neonicotinoid, neurotoxins which are under a two-year ban in Europe in response to colony collapse disorder. Tyler says his wife is concerned about how farm chemicals may be impacting our pollinators and asks him,
"Why do you do it?" Which is, that's all. It's convenience and cost and productivity. That's why people do it. I think those are the real thing. The first thing was convenience. We used to moldboard plow and then disc and then harrow and then plant and then cultivate and then cultivate again.
Tyler says fewer trips through the field equals less fuel burned and less chemicals applied. USDA figures back that up. The agency reports pesticide use did go down with the introduction of GMO seeds initially, but now it's increasing because weeds are evolving resistance to the chemicals.
Our weed of the week is common milkweed.
Sponsored by the Enlist Weed Control System from Dow AgroSciences, a new herbicide and trait system that will build on glyphosate.
To overcome the glyphosate resistance that GMO corn and soybeans are developing, Dow Chemical's new GMO seed adds resistance to 2,4-D, which was a component in Agent Orange during the Vietnam War. More toxic to milkweed than the glyphosate in Roundup, Seiler says.
I would say that it's not the glyphosate that's the problem, though. It's the 2,4-D.
Adding more pesticides to the environment to fight resistance has some concerned.
30 different kinds of plants that are now showing resistance to the herbicides that have been included in these GM crops is simply maintaining what is already part of the industrial system, which is called by some the pesticide treadmill, you know, the biocide treadmill.
That's Dr. Catherine Badgley of the University of Michigan. She'd like farmers to use less chemicals, but also recognizes the challenges to going organic.
We are not yet, as consumers, paying enough for that to be a decent living for people. And if we look at the price of food in the United States compared to the price of food in virtually every other country in the world, it is much more in other places.
She says if consumers want less chemicals, they must be willing to pay more. Kenny Seiler says farmers won't plant what doesn't pay.
It costs more money and it's more labor intensive. And if the price isn't there, they don't do it.
Seiler says to stop growing GMO crops, he would have to convert to organic.
There's a place in Saline that will buy non-GMO soybeans for food products, but it's got to be organic also.
He says converting to organic is a minimum 3-year process, and at age 77...
I don't know if I want to put that much time in. That's the biggest issue for me. For a long time, I worked night and day. Now I don't work nights anymore.
The average age of farmers in the U.S. is climbing steadily. The average size of farms is increasing too, and the bigger the farm, the fewer hedgerows and flowers for bees and butterflies. At Seiler's, the original 1870 farm was smaller.
Weeds grew along the fence, and I just took it out about 4 years ago. Before that, this was two separate fields.
To regain some of the lost pollinator habitat, some say we should look beyond the farm fields and focus on our roadways and our yards. In the U.S. alone, there are more than 17 billion acres along public highways which could be prime habitat for the plants pollinators depend on. That is, if people didn't view the roadside wildflowers as weeds to be mown. Those are bees in a small wildflower demonstration garden in Ann Arbor's Leslie Science Center. Chief Naturalist David Klipner says this is just the beginning.
I want to see milkweed in every direction that you look, and that's our goal.
In June, the center gave out milkweed plants for people to plant in their yards, which Klipner says should have cascading benefits.
So this habitat that we're looking at right now actually is home to a ton of different insect populations. It's not just the monarchs, but if you have a population of milkweed plants that are here, it's very likely that you have a healthy habitat that can sustain other populations from other species.
Including the human species.
I think that by helping everything that needs help, you know, we end up helping ourselves for whatever reason. If it takes a butterfly to change the way people live and get their food, that's fine with me.
Barbara Lucas, 89.1 WEMU News.
The Green Room is a presentation of the News Department and is produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division. For related information and links, visit our Green Room webpage at wemu.org. This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.